Behold the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Behold the tabernacle of God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. Tabernacle of God is with men, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be.
Together in your presence and to hear your word and to have fellowship with you and the saints. We thank you that we come under one banner, the blood of the Lamb, whose name is Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you will capture our hearts, imaginations, our whole being, Lord, as you speak to us now. For this we ask in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Firstly, I'd like just to apologise for Tuesday. There was a real technical problem that occurred. My computer updated. It was a big update. And I think that could have been some of the problem, although I have been noticing, particularly on Tuesday, that I lose connection, which could be a little suspicious. So I would value your prayers with regard to this, and we know what to do. We know what our weapons are, because we're very aware the enemy doesn't like the teaching going forth. But I believe nothing will hinder God's word, because we believe that it is going to the four corners of the earth in these last days. Praise God. What I'd like to encourage you today in a title I have, and that is God's Wisdom in Prayer. God's Wisdom in Prayer. Now, a lot of prayer is going up before God, particularly now with what is happening globally and this pandemic. Disease, plague, call it whatever you like. So there's a lot of prayers. There's a lot of searching, questions. People asking why and so on. And this is very vital for us as overcomers, where our ministry is. It is very important that we pray and intercede as the Holy Spirit leads and guides. It is very important that we understand what the Spirit is saying and praying through us at these times. Because I can guarantee you that much that comes before God is based on emotions, fear, unbelief, and not according to the will of God. But you see, God will not have that of us in FGA, for we have been taught and trained over the years. We have been given much, and much is required. And God said, my house is a house of prayer. And therefore, our prayers must be effective. They must be prayers that are inspired and anointed and led by the Holy Spirit. For we have been trained to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And we know that the enemy doesn't like what God gives to us, what we share, or what we are impressed that the Lord would have us to know. And one thing that we are finding through this time that's going on, God is sorting out those who have been hearing the word and taking this word into their hearts, believing it, applying it, and living it, and those that haven't. I have been so struck by the parable of the 10 virgins, of which I've shared with you, and also online. This is something that really has burdened me, because what we are beginning to see is those with their wisdom going forth, not only with oil in their lamps, but they've also taken vessels as well, with the possibility that those lamps could run out. There is wisdom. And that is why I'm calling this teaching today, God's Wisdom in Prayer. It is how we listen that is so important. Now, I want to base my teaching today on Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 12. Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 8 to 12. And Paul here, he gives the reasons and purposes of his ministry, which we can glean from. And we take it up in verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness, access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations, for which is your glory. Now, this is a very powerful statement the apostle is giving here, because it's interesting, the apostle Paul opens up in this chapter that he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles. And he was actually a prisoner when he wrote Ephesians. He was in prison. He was also a prisoner in Rome, but he reveals the one whom he really is imprisoned to, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's why he was able to keep going. That is why he was able to endure those prison times. And believe me, nobody wanted to go into those prisons in those days. Most never came out alive. They were like hell on earth. And yet he endured this because he shows us he had learnt to be a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He yielded himself over to the will of God that outwardly appeared to the churches that he is a prisoner, a slave to Jesus Christ. Now, the reason why Paul was in prison, in imprisonment, was because he believed Gentiles are saved through Jesus Christ by faith. And that was his ministry. That was his aim, his goal, his purpose. And he was willing to become a prisoner of Jesus Christ so that the Gentiles might hear the gospel. He was a living sacrifice in his ministry. And that is what God is looking for again in these last days. It's easy to talk about it, but it is another thing when we live it, when our lives are a sacrifice to each other and to what we believe and confess. And we know that because some believe and some reject it. Some don't want to hear. So the nature of our ministry, the nature of our calling is always sacrificial. I could have wept this morning when I was preparing my breakfast. I generally put the news on or something on, and the interviewer was interviewing a vicar, fairly well known on the radio. And of course, the conversation is about coronavirus. And this interviewer, who I thought was pretty honest, he said, "Do you know, I'm afraid of dying." And this vicar, I couldn't believe the response that he gave to this man. It was all philosophical. It was anything than presenting Jesus Christ. It was anything that revealing to him that if you are afraid of dying, then receive Christ as your Saviour, the one who triumphed over death. And I thought to myself, and it brought tears to my eyes, this is the trouble with churches today. They compromise on the message. They are afraid. They want to be politically correct. And he denied this man the basic gospel, which is good news, particularly to those who are afraid of dying. And I said, "Lord, have mercy. We are in such a state, such a mess." And I have found myself asking God for forgiveness for this global epidemic, this virus, because of the sake of the church, how weak the church is, how we lack in prayer, in faith, how we don't stand in the gap. Are we guilty of this? It is a good question, brothers and sisters, to ask ourselves. And how we need God's wisdom in our prayers. How we need to stand in the gap and supplicate and intercede before the mercy seat of God. We are going to see after this plague that this nation, the world, will not be the same. We are going to see a new world order that is going to be headed eventually by the Antichrist. And yet so much of the church goes around like headless chickens with their heads in the sand because they don't want to be led by the Holy Spirit. That is why the Spirit has come to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to be head over his body. But we still look to a man, a leader, a pope, or whatever. God have mercy. But the Lord would not have that of FGA. He would not have that. And so the reason why Paul was in imprisonment, because he believed that Gentiles are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, of course, this upset the Jews because they believed that Christians could only be saved by becoming a Jew. And that's what the apostle was up against by the Judaizers. Oh yes, all right, we'll accept, we'll believe Christianity. They knew Christ had risen from the dead. They couldn't fake it anymore. But, you can only be a Christian if you become a Jew. Do you know that that thought is still amongst professing Christians of today? Particularly those who are overboard on Israel. And I am all for Israel. I am all for praying for Israel, for the government. I believe in the restoration of Israel. I believe in the olive tree that we are to watch, we are to observe. It is our discerning of the times. But how far do you go with it? Because you take that on board, and the next thing you know is you keep the Sabbath. Your son will have to be circumcised, and so it goes on. And so the Apostle Paul was up against all of this. Paul's teaching stirred up the wrath of the Jews, and everywhere he went, he was persecuted and imprisoned. Hasn't changed much. Demons don't change, and the devil doesn't change. There's nothing new under the sun. So with that, let's take this up. And in verse 9, and he says, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So we see that everything is created through Jesus Christ. Yes, even under the old covenant, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He is the center of the gospel and the whole of the revelation of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. He is the center of this book. And sometimes we can lose sight in this. We so want to get into all the names, the Hebrew names of God and so forth. And yes, that has a place in our theology and teaching. But never forget that Jesus is the creator. He is the center of the gospel. Let's turn to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So there we are. Jesus made the worlds. He spoke it into being. who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So there we are. All power, authority, might and dominion is given to him, and he shares that with you and I and FGA. How is it we doubt? Why is it we still question? Well, we know, don't we? Because still the intellect, the mind, the emotions, what we hear can at times upset us or cause us to be shocked or whatever it is. But greater is he that is in you and I than he that is in the world. So here the apostle, turning back to Ephesians verse 9, makes it absolutely clear who it was, who is, who created all things. It was indeed the Lord himself. It then goes on in verses 10 and 11. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the churches to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what do we see from this then? Well, we see from this verse, or these two verses, that it is God's will to reveal wisdom. And a part of that wisdom, or that wisdom that we know, is from the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us. So, again, in light of this sermon this morning, God's wisdom in prayer, we only really know how to pray, and our prayers are inspired by the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit teaches us and leads us. This is why, brothers and sisters, I am always on about the importance of being Spirit taught. The unction of the Spirit is absolutely vital. Otherwise, you will just have man's intellect interpreting the Word of God. And sadly, colleges, theological colleges and churches are filled with that. But the question we raise is, are they Spirit taught? And that is what we are to discern. We are to test. It doesn't mean to say that it is heretical, it is demons teaching. They most certainly can, and they do. Our biggest fight that we have amongst believers is flesh and spirit. There is so much flesh. This, of course, was what Paul was addressing to the Corinthians and in many ways to the church at Galatia. This was one of the problems he saw coming in. The enemy was, if he couldn't work in one way, he'll try in another to stop believers being taught by the unction of the Spirit. Because it's that that empowers us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, as our Lord did. Again, I remind you, he revealed that he walked in the Spirit by the power of the Spirit, because he only said and done that which was revealed. He didn't rely on the intellect. The Apostle Paul, he's showing here, he's not relying on his intellect. And boy, did he have an intellect. If there's anyone who could have relied on it, he could have, but he didn't. He even allowed the Spirit to take him to Arabia all those years so that he could be Spirit taught. And that is the deeper life. And that is the difference, brothers and sisters, between the wise and the foolish virgins. The Word of God, the unction, the anointing is that vessel of oil that you have seen by the wisdom of God that is essential for these last days. It's not going to be enough otherwise. And so with that, we're able to pray according to the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is understanding that wisdom, acting upon that wisdom, led by that wisdom, learning from that wisdom. And that's why we call it wisdom and knowledge, because God's wisdom gives you knowledge that the world and man's intellect cannot give you. And so this is what the apostle is raising here. We see that this verse, that it is God's will to reveal his wisdom, hence the word of God. And we have the Spirit who teaches us. Now, do you remember Peter wrote these things? He also wrote about this. So it was well known and experienced in the Acts of the Apostles. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. The apostle here reveals very clearly that those things that have been reported, those who have preached the gospel to you by what? The Holy Spirit, sent from heaven. In other words, you have received teaching that is supernatural, that is not revealed to all, which even angels desire to look into. Wow, that's some statement, isn't it? We see that the angels are not omniscient like God is. They don't know the full plan and purpose of Almighty God. They had certain understanding and possibly discussed it amongst themselves, that it had to take God's wisdom being revealed to understand God's plan. And God now in these last days is revealing his plan. He's been revealing his plan to FGA. And to those who love and look to his appearing. Even the angels looked into this and they didn't see it all. And yet God is revealing, and he, and rightly so. That is what he reveals to the church. Because that is what it should be. Believers receiving the wisdom, the revelation of God, which we need. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to understand it, to live it, to interpret it, to preach it. For the glory of God. What does it say in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as light that shines in dark places until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. In other words, what he's saying is, the word is prophetic. It's God's wisdom being revealed to us. And the word is a light to us. It shines in darkness because we're living in this world. And Satan is the god of this world, the god of darkness. And the day dawns and the morning star rises on your hearts. That's how you understand. That's how you read scripture and various things and you've been reading it for years and suddenly it's like the lights all come on. Wow! I've never seen it like that before. Praise you, Lord. That's what he's talking about. The light is shining. This is why I make so much about we are the children of light and we walk in that light and keep in that light. Because that is where the wisdom of God is revealed. And that is why our fellowship are coming together regularly. Coming to meetings today in the room is so paramount. So that we may see. Because the wise virgins have to see. Where are some of our brothers and sisters today? Get in prayer for some of them. Our meetings are so important. There's only so much that even the pastor can do. We all stand together in this and believe and pray one for another. What does it say in the book of Acts? Let's turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his sufferings by many infallible proofs being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. There he was revealing himself for 40 days. They were obtaining, getting wisdom so that they could offer that back in prayer and in preaching of the word of God. What does verse 10 tell us of Acts? Verse 10. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. There's the wisdom of God revealing the future of Jesus' ministry. It's being unraveled, shown. Those disciples looking at that point, seeing their Saviour go. And then you've got these two. Speak out, men of Galilee. Why do you stand gazing? He's going to come back in like manner as you see. Comfort, encouragement. And so this tells us that God reveals himself to man through Jesus Christ and what goes on in heaven and amongst his angels and his hosts. He's revealing what goes on. That's why he's giving us that discernment that goes on in the heavenlies. He's revealing principalities and powers, both good and bad. If there's anything that God has been revealing over the last 10, 15 years to the assembly, is our warfare, our spiritual battle. He's been opening the heavens to us that we can discern, we can see what we're up against. That is the wisdom of God. And that is why you need that wisdom in your prayers if they are to be effective. And I know there are some who don't like this, that I have been preaching and labouring with for a long time. I don't tell you half and a quarter of the opposition that I get. I spare you it, because I don't want to cause divisions in the house of God. But it just makes me more determined that I am on the right track, and that the enemy is attacking, and he wouldn't attack unless we are experiencing the wisdom of God and the wisdom of God in prayer. The Spirit gives you that boldness, that tenacity to carry on whatever the enemy is trying to do. And we are seeing the results of it. We're seeing our prayers being answered. We're seeing that God answers the prayer of a righteous man, for it avails much before his throne. We're seeing what our warfare is doing, what it's doing for this country, for the government, Israel, and those things that God is showing us to pray on. I've shared with you how we need to stand in the gap over China at the moment. I don't question it all. If God reveals it, that's the wisdom of God, then I do it. I don't want to know politically or all the answers. And there is the problem. Some want to know. And that's where you miss it. And that is why we need a simple, childlike faith to trust that God has got it under control. And I have learnt that God just wants that simple, childlike faith from me. And whatever is in my heart that I would like to know or whatever, praise him. 9 times out of 10, he'll tell me in that right time and way. He's always faithful. But the trouble is, I want to know now. And that's pride. He's not going to reveal to us, because we walk by faith and not by sight. And sight includes our intellect. No. Because he's revealing to us what is in the heavenlies. He's been revealing to us the angelic hosts and Satan himself. It's interesting that God didn't reveal in his infinite wisdom all that he was going to do through Jesus Christ. That is why our experience in the house of God is an unveiling of the wisdom of God in these closing days. It's the same with the book of Revelation. The revelation is a book of wisdom. It's the revelation given to Jesus Christ, to the Gentile churches. And in the right time and way, he then begins to unfold and reveal to us what we need to know in the book of Revelation. And it is being revealed. It is being open. But we don't know anything unless the Spirit reveals. We think we know in the intellect, and we've got many of those theologians that are around who think they know. But we don't know. We know nothing unless it is revealed from above. We are spiritually blind and ignorant. And that is how he wants us to walk, day by day, by faith, being led by the Spirit as the Father reveals to us what we need to know, what we need to say, what we need to pray on, read, meet, and so on. When you become a believer and baptized in the Holy Spirit, you are out of control. It is the Spirit who then takes over. And for some, that is frightening. But for those who love the Lord, they just say, bring it on. That is how I want to walk. If there's anything that this pandemic is going to sort out in the house of God, the men from the boys, because a lot will go back in fear. That is why we make much of Gideon's army, how God reduced that army from 33,000 down to 300. And he watched at the water's edge how they took of the water. And what does the water signify? Life, the word of God, the spirit of God. How are we drinking? How are we taking it in? That is the question. And that's all that was needed in which to win against the Philistines. And look how God glorified his name through that battle. And it will be the same in the last days. Sadly, many professing believers can actually be the biggest hindrance if they're not willing to obey and yield to God. And God sometimes will reduce until he's got a people who are in unity and oneness, who move in obedience with him. We see it in Scripture. And this is what I believe he's going to do in these last days. Because our warfare is not with flesh and blood. It's against powers, principalities. And we have to learn in the heavenlies what our warfare is. And this is what the apostle is revealing here. Let me read it again in verse 9 and 10. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the church, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And that is why our prayers need the wisdom of God, so that we see what our prayers, what our warfare is. We are up against strong forces, powers, principalities. And the Lord has said that what is bound on earth, bound in heaven. What is loosened on earth is loosened in heaven. Ephesians 6 tells us what our warfare is. Very clearly. And yet so much of the church and brothers and sisters have got their heads buried in the sand, that every time the enemy growls, they run away. Where are the Davids? The little shepherd boy out in the wilderness there. Where are they? Where's the confession? We are well able to take the giant. That is what God is looking for, not those running away. And you know, as I've said before, when we come into prayer, we are the only people who know that the victory is already won through Jesus Christ. We have everything to gain. So this is the wisdom of God being revealed then to us. This is why the enemy, Satan, tried to stop Christ from going to Calvary. He knew God was up to something. He knew something was going to come out of this, and this is why he tried to stop him. The wisdom of God is a mystery in the heavens. Even we've looked here, the angels even wanted to know. But he's revealing it, not up there, he's revealing it to the church, to us. The manifold wisdom of God being revealed, to us now in these last days. For what purpose? Not for us to sit back and say, well, how blessed we are, and look at the teaching we're having. No. The wisdom of God is revealed so that we use it. That knowledge that we learn from that wisdom, we use it. And we use it in prayer and intercession and supplication. What does it say in verse 11? According to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this is where the enemy attacks most believers. You see, we see the word boldness. According to the eternal purpose and accomplishing Christ Jesus our Lord. So he's talking about boldness here. The eternal purpose, which is accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, and to whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Now, this word boldness is an interesting word. It means to be fearless. It means assurance. It's courage. That's what it means. It means you are absolutely assured. I'm not doubting. I believe. And as a result of that, that deals with fear. If we still have problems with fear, we have it because of unbelief. We're not sure. We're not yet totally convinced. And that's where the wisdom of God comes in, to reveal that to us. Let's turn to John 7, verse 26. John chapter 7 and verse 26. But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? Well, some of them knew and some of them didn't. They obviously knew there was authority here, but they weren't sure. They didn't know who this was. And that's why God wants us to know. It's an unveiling. It's a revealing. And that is why I keep saying our walk as Christians is a supernatural walk. It is an unveiling. It's You're not getting this from the world. You're not getting this from a textbook. You are getting this through the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, I will come back to you. In other words, we're getting it from Jesus, the one who created the heavens and the earth. You're getting it direct from him. That is why the deeper life is about a relationship with him. That's what this is about. And then we get this boldness to minister through the Holy Spirit. We get this confidence, which means a trust, a reliance. You see, we all like people who are reliable, don't we? We like people who are trustworthy. And that is what God requires of us. It's what it means to be an overcomer. That's why I often say those that endure to the end will be saved. You expect God to be reliable, trustworthy. Well, in return, that's what he places within us. That we are the same. That we are the same in the body, in FGA. Because when you've got reliability, trustworthiness, all of those virtues, you can build upon something then. So much, sadly, in churches, God can't build on it because people are not reliable. They're coming and going. They're not settled. There's no foundation. So much is just built upon sand. But God would not have that of us, brothers and sisters. Well, turning back to Ephesians, looking at this, verse 13. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations, for which is your glory. So the apostle doesn't want the believers to be discouraged by what he goes through for the sake of the gospel. Paul's writing this epistle from prison. And he wants to preach the good news to the Gentiles. So even in prison, it doesn't stop him from preaching. He's still writing. He's still making sure these letters go out. And even though we're in lockdown, can't fellowship, can't meet, we're not stopping. We can come online like we're doing today and continue to hear the wisdom of God being revealed to us to encourage and help us. That's why he wanted the apostle to preach the good news to the Gentiles, that they can be saved through Messiah. But we know this offended the Jews. And it still offends today. Nothing's changed. What does it say as we close now in this? Philippians chapter 1, verse 13. Philippians chapter 1, the 13 and 14, Philippians 1, 13 and 14, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, brothers and sisters, I want you to listen to this carefully. Your faith, your belief, your endurance, your overcoming, your staying faithful to your calling, to the word, to FGA, brings about a boldness to your brothers and sisters to speak the word of God without fear. That is why our fellowship is so important. It's what it does to each of us. It encourages us to go on. And the Apostle Paul saw that his imprisonments, what he's going through, is actually building the body up. It is edifying. It is encouraging believers to carry on and to be fearless and to speak confidently the good news of the gospel. And that is what we are doing. That is the desire of my heart. Have you ever thought that I've wanted to walk away? Yes, I've been tempted to. I can assure you, I am no different from anyone else. But what I go through, what you go through, is for the building up, the testimony of this little assembly. Few that it may be. And that is why I get such comfort from the message to the church at Philadelphia. But that is the overcoming church. That is the church that will be raptured and taken away. That is the wisdom of God. And that is the wisdom that we use in our prayers and our intercessions. And that is why we share with that wisdom how to pray in these last days. I'm going to share something with you, and I can only speak from me personally. I have not had any real unction from the Holy Spirit to war against this pestilence. And it's concerned me when you hear of the deaths and how many are affected, and globally what's happening in all this, I don't get a real unction, boldness to go into warfare, or at least not yet. And this has, to a certain extent, concerned me. Why I don't seem to be led by this. And of course I pray, don't get me wrong, but there's also God's wisdom in prayer. That discernment, where you know that your prayers are up in the heavens, coming against the powers of darkness. I've not had much of this up to now yet with regard to this. And I've been wondering why. And I'm not asking questions of God, because he knows what goes on in us. He knows what goes on in my heart. And it was like I became impressed only a few days ago. I believe the Holy Spirit quickened to me, I am judging this nation. And I'm going to judge this nation harshly because of what it has had and what it has received over the centuries. What it's adhered to and held to. And God is judging it because of the state that the church is in. And when I heard this morning this minister, this clergy that the church looks to, and the answer that he gave to this man who said, I fear dying, it all started to make sense. And I believe, and I can only speak as it's revealed to me, that there is coming a time when something will cry within us and say, Lord, have mercy, enough, stay your hand, enough. But I haven't had it yet. You may have had it, and praise God if you have, but I haven't. And I'm just being completely honest and open with you, because it grieves me every day when I see the hundreds that are dying. How many are going into a Christless eternity? I just can't get my head around that. These are trying times. But I do know what the Lord is revealing. And he's revealed and he showed us, and he wants us to be very much in warfare over China. He hasn't revealed everything yet, but it is important that we are faithful to this and that we continue our prayers, our warfare, until all is revealed. We're getting certain insights now. It's coming out at long last that they have covered up, which we have said all along. It's gradually coming out, but of course they're of the world. You're not of the world. You're just simply sojourners passing through. You're receiving the wisdom of God to discern, to test. And there will be other things that God will reveal to us as well. Things that we're showing us. You see, I have been in many ways, I wouldn't say attacked, but questioned. Well, we know all of these things are going to happen in the last days. We know that there are going to be plagues and pestilences, and Jesus spoke of all of this. We know that. I preached it, and I do preach it. But I also know that God gives us wisdom in prayer. And I know that our government at the moment needs a lot of prayer, because they're coming in for a lot of flack. And it's all very well talking in hindsight what one could do, but that's not how we live. And so there are things that God is showing us to be very much in prayer and intercession for, and also for our government. And when we come through this, I believe God is going to have mercy on this nation. It has been predicted that Britain could be the worst in Europe in numbers of death. That is what is being predicted. So we leave these things with God. We keep our eyes on him. We are ready to pray, to intercede, to go into battle any time, any day, any moment. That's what we've been trained for. And we know that all the while the Lord tarries, our prayers are keeping back the powers of darkness, that when the overcomers go, they will then press in. And it will be a time of blackness during the tribulation and the great tribulation. But until then, we are children of the light. We believe that light. We walk in that light. And we confess that light. And that light will still, in God's mercy, keep the powers of darkness back, so that a remnant can be saved. Until the last Gentile is saved, then God will turn to his ancient people, Israel. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your words of help and encouragement, yes, and admonishment. Because, Lord, those whom you love, you chasten. It's a sign you love us. But, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that none of this can be possible unless he comes in his power and might, unless he comes like a mighty wind and anoints and revives and raises us up above ourselves. And, Lord, we know that you are doing that. We know, Lord, we're being restored in these last days. We know that the latter rain is coming. We know, Father, that when we get through all of this, you are going to have mercy on this nation. I believe there will be for a season a great manifestation of your glory shown, simply because of the saints who trod in the past, many who were martyred, many who gave up their lives for the gospel. Much blood for the gospel has been shed in this country. And you don't turn a deaf ear to that. You're the God of mercy and grace and comfort. And you hear the prayers of the destitute. You are with those out in the highways and the byways, the homeless, the drug addicts, the problems in homes and with families, you are there. And Father, may our prayers be guided and led by your Spirit, by the wisdom of God. Father, what a privilege it is to be used in these last days. Whatever have we done to deserve any of this? But it's in your infinite wisdom, your love and mercy, that you first loved us and chose us in Christ. How could we ever doubt? Forgive us, Lord, when we do. But here we are, faithful, meeting together, desiring your word, your presence, Lord. And Father, we support and encourage one another. Lord, we want to thank you for your healing power that is moving through this church. On Mary Louise, Jackie, Teresa, and others, Lord. I stand in the gap as well in this. And you're hearing our prayers. You are preserving. You are keeping us. We've seen how the enemy wants to destroy us. And it makes us more determined. It gives us a greater boldness. And only you can do that. Lord, I pray for our brothers and sisters who are not with us today. You know why they're not. All I know is, Lord, the most important thing is that I'm here today with you and my brothers and sisters. And I pray that that will be the desire of all our hearts. Keep us separated from the world. Give your angels charge over us, Lord. Guard our ears, our eyes, our footsteps, our going out, our coming in. Help us to keep and maintain that walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But this we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. God's wisdom in prayer. That's what we've been looking at today. Well, all of you.
Of God.